that you are about to listen to is a direct voice talk given by Brother Boniface. It has been called the Message of Spirit.
Pleasure, Brother Boniface.
Hello, Brother Boniface.
I often wish, on my coming here, that it were possible for you to have the vision so that you could see for yourselves the tremendous concord of people that gather around on such an occasion as this. I know that you have a knowledge of this truth, perhaps more than most, and yet I am sure that in your most vivid imagination you could not comprehend the immensity of the numbers of souls who are drawn on such an occasion as this, knowing full well that their opportunity of communication themselves is very unlikely, but who come in strength and in love to help and to support, so that the message of spirit which comes from each and every one of us may be manifest to the best possible way, so that the message of spirit can go forth in your world among those who are prepared to listen. But I feel it would be most illuminating if it were possible for you to see and to realize the immense effort that is made on such an occasion as this. Not only are there souls whose desire is to communicate personally, but enormous numbers of people are attracted, drawn by the illumination that emanates from this room. All around and about you there are forces of which you know little or nothing, which known particularly to us and the scientists whose task it is to organize the power and condition for the manifestation of the spirit. We know this force which is so vital, which makes possible our communication. We know that this force, harnessed in the manner which the scientists themselves have studied and have brought into being, temporarily a replica of the vocal organs necessary for speech, in case as it is in the form of what I can best term a box, which generally is considered to be as near as possible a reproduction of vocal organs necessary for speech. This is created and at the same time is replenished with the force and the power that is generated in this room. Of course, there are times when we do speak and you do not hear us, and sometimes we're not even aware of the fact that you cannot hear us. There are so many varying factors and degrees of intensity of force and power fluctuating as it does to such an extent that we cannot always be certain as to whether the voice is clear and distinct or whether it is distorted. Sometimes a person may endeavor to speak to you, trying with their utmost ability to transmit their personality, transmit their characteristic of speech when on earth, trying to recapture past memories of events for evidential purposes. And all manner and conditions of thoughts are, as it were, working for the same end, for the same purpose. Of course, with some of us who come chiefly to discuss matters of import, things which are more of a spiritual nature than material, our difficulties are rather different. But nevertheless, I think it is interesting and possibly important to many of those on your side who know little of this subject, and communication in particular, that we should illustrate and demonstrate and as best we can explain how this comes into being. So many people say, oh, this is not possible. How can a voice long since dead be heard, even under the circumstances of which you speak? To us, so many people say, it does not make sense. And yet, people would realize they are doing this same self-same thing every living moment of their daily lives. It is true that the circumstances are different. It is true that you have your own physical body, that you have your own vocal organs, that you are vibrating the atmosphere in your own world. But we do exactly the same thing, but slightly in a different form. We are transmitting our thoughts, but whereas you are transmitting your thoughts via your vocal organs in a normal, natural manner, we are to some extent having to do the same thing under rather unnatural conditions. We have to, as it were, transmit thoughts so that it hits or vibrates the voice box. The voice box responds and you receive these sound waves which are transmitted into what you term sentences or words, into a voice. You are doing this every moment of your living day. All your communication is vibration. All your communication is basically thought force. Transmission of thought via vibration, we do exactly the same thing. Whereas you do it normally and naturally under your own conditions, we must learn how to do it in an artificial sense and yet reproduce as near as possible in a natural manner tonal quality reproduction of self. And you must remember that whereas you are doing this under your own normal conditions, we are doing it not only under unnatural conditions, are unfamiliar conditions for some, but we are having to remember and reproduce from memory sounds. We are having to reproduce impressions and ideas, memories of events long ago, sometimes almost forgotten. And we have to reproduce so much more than you do under much more adverse conditions that it is a wonder that possibly we achieve the success that we do. I mention all these things this morning because I feel that a tape recording of such an interest as this, when you send out so many recordings to people who know little or nothing of the subject, that it will help them to understand and appreciate a little more perhaps than they do these things that we so ardently try to achieve for you. I know that there are many of you who understand, but there are many who do not. And there are many who say, oh yes, this is very interesting, this is intriguing, and this or that is of great help and benefit to us, but we don't understand how it can be. It's too good to be true. Doesn't somehow seem possible. These remarks are constantly heard. And doubts and fears are predominant in the minds of individuals, thinking that in some way or other it must be faked, that it cannot be possible that such a thing could be. And yet, if you will think seriously of these things and deeply, it should not be so difficult to understand, it should not be so difficult to appreciate. You take for granted in your world so many things. You turn a knob and you listen to sounds and voices far away, and you see the picturization of events while they're happening far away. These things you accept without question, and yet what are they but vibrations and thought waves in the atmosphere received, picked up by sensitive instruments, and transmitted and transcribed, as it were, for you in sound and in picture. We are doing, in a sense, exactly the same thing, but whereas you have a television set or you have a radio receiver, we have a medium. We must always have a medium. How often we hear people say, oh yes, I would believe it if my husband came and spoke to me in the privacy of my own home, in my own room, or if he appeared in front of me. I would accept and believe, but why must there be a medium? Why must there be an instrument? Always there must be a sensitized instrument of some description or other. And until we are able, through our scientific effort, working upon scientists upon your side, to bring into being some scientific instrument to make communication a scientific fact, we must make do with our instruments, our sensitized instruments. People, unfortunately, cannot realize that our efforts on your behalf, many and sometimes complex, never satisfy us. I would never like you to feel that we are ever satisfied. You may go away, for instance, from a seance and say, well, today it was really worth the effort. Today it was a wonderful session. And you may think to yourself that we've done our job very well. But quite often we go away and we say, well, I wish we could have got over a little more explicitly certain things. I wish we could have depicted or described better this or that, whatever it may be that we've endeavored to give to you. We often feel a sense of frustration. We are human, the same as you. We are not perfect by any means. We know our limitations, or the limitations that must be that are set particularly in communications. We do not necessarily, because we are on this side of life, know all the answers to all the problems. Neither do we know always that which is yet to take place. Some people seem to assume that because we are here, we can foretell the future, that we can see what is to be or what may yet be for individuals still on earth. It is true that there are occasions when by deduction and by the realization of certain influences brought to bear here or there upon this or that individual, that certain things, by the very nature of things, must be, must take place. But we do not always understand and know fully the conditions of your particular life or lives. It's true, if we're closely associated, we know a great deal about you, and we can quite often deduct what may well happen under certain conditions which seem prevalent at the time. But the point is, we would not like you to think that we are infallible, that we are, as it were, the oracle that can answer all problems, as some people would like to think. You know there are those in your world, and far too many of them, who, I regret to say, are on a low strata of experience and understanding among spiritualists generally, who think that we can foretell and we can give forth messages here, there and everywhere, purporting to be in regard to their material lives and well-being and so on, that we can solve their problems for them, that we can cure all their ills mentally and physically and even spiritually. It's true, we can do a great deal towards helping physically, mentally and spiritually, but there are limitations which are often set indeed by the very people themselves that we're trying to help. And of course it wouldn't do that we should be able to answer all your problems or to cure all your ills. It would be a very, very bad thing if we could. And that is why I feel it's very important for people to realize that although we will, and we do, and we can assist and help, often there are times when we realize it would be impractical and impossible, and indeed, if we could, unwise to do certain things that we would like to perhaps do, and yet we know would be very unfortunate if we did. We feel it's best sometimes to stand aloof, and that you make your mistakes, that you learn from your experience. Sometimes even suffering must be until man learns the cause, which is invariably within himself, may not necessarily always be in the individual, but it may be in the atmospheric condition of your earth through generations of wrong thinking and wrong acting. We may be able to point out the way and the path. We might be able to point out the error. But you are the ones that no doubt over centuries of time brought error into being, and to some extent you yourselves must put it right. We may show you the path and the way, and that is all we can hope to do. We cannot do it for you. People are always complaining. People are always saying, why does God permit this? Or why is this allowed? God, if we must use the term God, doesn't necessarily interfere. Man is given free will. Man has choice. And if man, through wrong thinking and wrong action, in consequence of wrong thinking, bring into being certain diseases or certain conditions of life which are unpleasant and unhappy, whether it is a war or pestilence, man, and man alone, is responsible. There is no doubt about it that man brings upon himself all the sadness and all the troubles and all the errors in some shape or form. Sometimes it may seem unfair and unfortunate that sometimes what appear to be innocent people are often made to suffer. But you see, that is again because man thinks of himself as an individual. He will never realize that he is part and parcel of the great whole, that he is, after all said and done, only part of life, a small, if you like, speck of sand in the desert of life and of time. And when one man suffers, in a sense, everyone suffers. You may say there are millions of people who, by their very nature and their attitude towards life, are not interested, are not in any way brought into being in regard to other people's suffering. They are not affected by it. They may read it and say, that's a sad thing, and think no more about it and do nothing. But until man realizes that he is dependent one upon the other, that when one suffers, all suffer, and that all men are as one, fundamentally, all the same spirit. It is true that you are individual inasmuch that you have the ability to create an individual personality and character, but you are all fundamentally of the same spirit, and therefore, where one is affected, so are all. And it is an extraordinary thing that when there is great suffering in the world, when there is great unrest, quite often people who come closer together, the very sense of danger, you may say, brings them together. But nevertheless, it is true that when there is great upheaval in the world, people are inclined to work closer together for the common good or for the safety of the human race. You know, we are appalled that man does not learn lessons more quickly, that he goes on and on making the same mistakes, creating all sorts of barriers through ignorance and foolishness and narrow-mindedness. There is so much intolerance in your world that need not be. Intolerance breeds so much of your unhappiness. Man must learn to live in peace and tranquility, one nation with another, realizing the imperfections in each, and at the same time endeavoring to bring forth all that is good from each and every soul. Every man has great possibility for spiritual rejuvenation, great possibility of spiritual consciousness and awareness which will uplift him beyond the confines and the complexities of material things. The power of the spirit that is around you is a tremendous. If only you could see, as I've said in the beginning, the power that is vibrating, and how, if you could draw upon it, how you could be changed, how you could be helped, how you could be uplifted. Yours is a great responsibility, having this knowledge. But you know as well as I do that this knowledge can and will give you a greater understanding, a greater patience and tolerance, and a greater love for humanity. And it opens up doors which long have been closed. And those who listen to the voice of the Spirit, who are at this moment uncertain, unsure, I say to you, put into practice the things of the Spirit. Have such faith and know that it truly can remove mountains, and that if you will make the effort, as we have so requested so often, you will be surprised what you can do, what you can achieve, not only with yourself, but in your own home, in your own community, how you can bring light into the darkness of millions of lives. Though you may feel that you are doing so little, you will be surprised how much is being done and achieved. You cannot see, as we see, how it goes out in waves of power and waves of tremendous energy, which by its very nature does create and energizes many people in such a way that they themselves serve truly. You have a great responsibility, but I know that you will not shirk it. and you will not hold back, but go forward in strength, knowing that truly you are blessed, truly you are helped, truly you are guided, and truly indeed are you coming closer and closer to the realization of the power of the Spirit, which ever manifests around and about you. Draw on that power and know what it can do, what it can achieve in each and every life, and the community as a whole will be blessed. I wish it were possible for you to see the power and the generating power, force and life which is ever present among you, and that you can draw upon, that will enable you to overcome many of the difficulties and the problems of your daily lives. Set your hearts and your minds on the things of the Spirit, and truly you will be blessed. It gives me great joy, my children, to talk to you. Go forward in strength and know that we are with you. And it is true to say, there is nothing that is impossible. Indeed, the faith and the power of the Holy Spirit can remove mountains. Truly, mountains can be removed if you will have that faith. Truly, as Christ said to the woman who touched the hem of his garment, thy faith hath made thee whole. Have that faith, my children, and truly we shall accomplish great things together. My peace, my love, my blessing be upon each one of you, now and always.
Thank you very much, Brother Marcus. Could I put a question to you before you go?
Yes, sir.
We had a question sent to us the other day. It concerns a young man who has been offered an opportunity in spiritual service. He does not know what to do because if he leaves home, then he's afraid of letting his family down. And he asked me to put this question to you. I myself consider that you have already answered the question, but I'm quite sure that he would like to.
This is a question which, frankly, must always fall back on the individual. It's true that we can point a way, and at the same time we realize the quandary. But I would say, as I have indeed been asked, that if he has such faith that he is called to spiritual service, then the way will be found for him, and the way will be found in such a sense that no one will be harmed. I feel that for a little while he may yet stay with his people, but eventually the path will be shown him with a clarity, a vision that cannot be denied. I do not doubt myself that he will be shown the path, but he must be patient. The urge, of course, is great to go forward, but there are times when perhaps one must be hesitant, and this is a moment of hesitancy, but it will pass, and in the coming months the path will be shown. Tell him to be patient, and I'm sure all will be well. Bless you.
Thank you very much, Brother.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, dear.